My message is, I think, in some ways quite simple, but in some ways, hopefully, the simplest messages are the deepest message. As I say, we're thinking about reaching out for the light. That's through Advent, the season of light, the season of thinking about the coming of Christ. And we are thinking particularly today about the return of Jesus and what significance, if we believe that Jesus is returning, that has upon our lives in the present. Because that teaching should affect how we live now. And for some of us it's very significant, for some of us it has a place quite far back maybe in our thinking. And this person is stretching. Ooh, I don't think I could do that now, I used to do hundreds of those. The person is stretching and reaching out. Advent is a very short season. It's referring obviously to the coming of Jesus, that's the Latin word, Adventus, the coming of Jesus. Firstly, as a human being, God in flesh, as a baby, and also his return. It's a short season, really, in which the church reflects, not just of the coming of God into the world in a human body, but also in waiting for the return of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we don't just reflect upon the coming, the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death upon the cross, the resurrection and the ascension. We also actually think about his return. Probably when we're first Christians, we don't think an awful lot about that. You can only take in so much when you're younger. But the season of Advent is a reflection for us as Christians, not just on the baby Jesus. Now, loads of people in the world will think about the baby Jesus, won't they? And they will become all twee and sentimental thinking about the birth of this baby, which is wonderful. But for us as Christians, we need to give a bit more thought and reflection, a bit more deeper thought about the actual return of Jesus. We're not waiting around, though. Just hanging about, filling in time, waiting for the return of Jesus. Some Christians sometimes have mistakenly thought that's just what they can do. Just hang around doing what they want because Jesus is going to come and sort it all out. We're not. We're engaged with the work that God has given us to do as his people. But we have this hope within us, at least I hope that we do, that needs to burn very strong in our minds and our hearts. Now, as a younger Christian, I think I knew the fact, I think I was taught that in both the Old and the New Testaments, that Jesus would return. But it was quite, and that may well have been my fault or the fault of my teachers, it was quite a secondary thing. I didn't think about it an awful lot. And if people spoke about the end of the world, it was usually the nutters you tended to hear, rather than those that clearly talked about it. I must admit that the teaching, though, seems to become more and more real to me and more important the more I go on with God. And I don't just think that's an age thing. I think it's part of the maturity that Paul speaks about here. Every time we have communion, usually every time, we actually say from 1 Corinthians 11, we break this bread and we drink from this cup until he comes again. So at every communion meal, usually, we're actually directing our thoughts to the return of Jesus Christ. And those words are not just meant to roll over us, they are speaking about a future point. Uncertainty. We, like the people of Jesus' day, live in a time of great economic anxiety and also a time not just of change, but of confusion. There is confusion about morality, both personal morality and about corporate morality, how you and I should behave, but also how businesses and countries should be run. There's tremendous confusion. That is nothing new. Some people believe that we are in the very last days, that Christ is coming soon. To be honest, I honestly don't know. There's sometimes in prayer when I feel it will be very soon. And there are other times when I'm reminded that no one knows the time and that we need to live each day in readiness. In every generation, there have been those that thought it was going to happen very, very soon. But you know, it's in a time of crisis that we find our vision. And you may feel that you are going through a crisis. You may feel your family is a time of crisis. I hope you are aware that our nation is in a time of crisis and that the world is in a time of crisis, because it is a time of crisis. And it's often in a time of crisis that we discover what we really believe and where we really discover what God's vision is and what God can do. And we need to have a vision of the future that can sustain us in the present and also determine the way that we live now. And too often, our hopes for our families and our hopes for personal success are what dictate how we live now. And that should not be the way. We are to seek first God's kingdom, and that is to determine the way that we live. It's to determine the way that we raise our families and the way that we speak to people. It's to determine the way we choose to work and so on, and face difficulty. Christians hold this clear belief, and it was expressed by Jesus and taught, and it's repeated in the Acts of the Apostles. As the disciples look to Jesus, the angel says to them, "Why are you looking into the sky, into the heavens?" In other words, get on with what God has given you to do. Go and receive the Holy Spirit and get on with it. This same Jesus who ascended into heaven will come back. Now, it's absolutely clear from the New Testament, this Christ will return. And the word that's used, we'll come to later, same word as the Latin advensis, the Greek word parousia, meaning he will literally, materially come into the world like a returning king. We need to change the way we live now to be ready for the day we will greet him. Okay? We need to change the way we live now so that we are ready to greet him. And the day of Christ's return is spoken of not just as a time of judgment for all people, including Christians, but also of new hope and the coming of the kingdom of God and the rule of Jesus Christ. In your ginger group, Amanda tells me that you've been thinking about that fact when you think about the Beatitudes. How we live now is a preparation for the kingdom of heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. And that return of Christ is something we look forward to, probably with mixed feelings, with fear and awe at what it will mean, and with eagerness so that we may meet the Lord face to face. This same Jesus will come back. You want to learn a simple memory verse? This same Jesus will come back. We look with confidence to the Lord, never being afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. This is written by Roy Searle, who heads up the Northumbria community. He's a Baptist, working with Anglicans and Catholics and others on a life of prayer and reflection and active mission and evangelism. And he's making this point. The future's unknown, isn't it? But we should have a confidence in the Lord and not be afraid, even though the future is unknown, because we know God. And that's how we can actually face an unknown future. We don't know how difficult or how easy the days ahead will be. There are prophets of doom that say it will be terrible, and there are prophets that say peace, peace, when there is no peace. We don't know what the future will be like, but if we know the Lord, then we can face that future. I want to speak carefully today because the past is incredibly important. We can learn from the past and so on. I'm going to mention that. But there is a great danger for all of us that we get stuck, although we're in the present, we get stuck in the past. And we are not able to move out of that. It holds us captive. Think of the runner. That was the picture that was given. And the picture that was given of the person running the race is saying, I'm not looking back. I'm not looking to the starting blocks. I'm not looking to where I've come from. Now, the day will come when the athlete sits down and looks at the race and he thinks, that's how I did it, and so on. But he's making the point, when you are running with a focus, you need to be looking to the future. It's not because the past isn't important, but unless you have a future hope, you will not be able to live in the present. There's always a danger that we rely too much upon the past to enable us to survive in the present. How will you get through what you're facing now? Not just you personally, other people's lives depend on us. Other people's futures depend on us sharing the message with them. Right? That's the truth. How will they hear unless somebody tells them? The past is important. It gives meaning and understanding. It teaches us many, many lessons. But we cannot truly live without a sense of the future, and indeed a future hope. Everyone is moving on. Our children, our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren. Everyone is moving on, moving towards the day of the return of Jesus Christ. The more we rely upon our past to make sense of what we do now, the more we're diminished. What John Rackley, who ministers in Bath, means by that, we become smaller. We lose a sense of our own worth and value, our own importance in today, if we're just relying on the past. We don't see how important our lives are now. We're diminished. We're made smaller. We need to see that we have a future. God has a future for us and plans that we are engaged with. We are to live differently now. Christ is returning. So to live in the present, we need to have a hope in the return of Christ. We have other hopes as well. We want to see our children grow up, be healthy. We want to see them in good, stable relationships. We want to see them using the gifts that they have. We want to see our country more just in its distribution of services and money. We have other hopes, but ultimately our hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the day of salvation, says the scripture. Now is the day of salvation. Christ has come, but he is returning. And what happens now is significant. What happened upon the cross is ultimately significant, but it is being outworked in this present world. That battle, the death blow that Christ dealt to evil and the prince of this world, is being outworked now. The devil may well be in death throes and causing havoc, but we need to be realistic. Now is the day of salvation. So in Advent, we reflect not just about the coming of Jesus, but his return, when there will be judgment and condemnation of evil, and the kingdom of God will come in fullness. God's rule will be seen in the new heaven and earth. Jesus comes to lighten our darkness. We've sung about that already this morning. And that means so much. You could reflect on that through the whole of Christmas, couldn't you? And that great prayer, lighten our darkness, O Lord, we beseech thee. He comes to lighten our darkness. We are people who walk in the very shadow of death. We're people who've walked in great darkness, and into the darkness the light has shone. Jesus comes to lighten our darkness, but also to give us the light for the future, the light to walk by into the future. You know, the darkness pursued Jesus, didn't it? The darkness pursued Jesus to Bethlehem, where Herod sought to extinguish the light. The darkness pursued Jesus all of his life, into the wilderness and through to Jerusalem. But Jesus never stayed in the darkness. He moved on into his future. He kept moving into the future, reaching out for the light. He was the light, but he constantly sought to move forward. Obeying the will of God is always moving into the light. Obeying the will of God is always moving into the light. Don't stay in the darkness. Move into the light. Move into the future by stepping into the light, by obeying faithfully day by day what God has taught, not living in the second best. Moving into the future. On the Alpha Day about the work of the Holy Spirit, just a couple of Saturdays ago, or was it just over a week ago? We were thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit, and during the prayer ministry time, someone shared a word of encouragement with another person in the group. Keep stepping into the light. And the person said to me, but what does it mean to step into the light? Well, how do you sum that all up in a short answer when you're tired anyway? So I said something, well, go away, like Ewart mentioned, and read 1 John chapter 1, which is all about light and transparency and honesty. But I said, I need to think more about this. So this is the answer. My answer. My answer is this. From the life of Jesus, stepping into the light is always reaching out to obey the will of God. That's my answer after 8 days of reflection. Stepping into the light is always reaching out to obey the will of God. Now, I have very practical things about being honest with people, speaking the truth, loving people, forgiving people, but it's always reaching out to obey the will of God. The Bible and the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit will make plain to us what that means if we take the time to find out, but primarily it means daily faithfulness and future hope. Stepping, walking in obedience to God, as Jesus did. Not staying in the darkness, but always stepping into the light. Is your life on hold? Or do you think you're creating your own future? You're very happy to make all your own decisions. What about God's future for you? Do not try and create a future for yourself. Do not keep your life on hold. But step by step, follow the Lord. And it will unfold because he has future for you. It's not just that he's returning. Your future is tied into Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. That wonderful scripture. Took me years to try and understand that. I'm still trying to. My life is hid with Christ in God. Move forward. Some people are on a perpetual red stop. And some people are always getting ready. But we need to be moving into the future. Even if each day is a struggle. Even if our future is struggle. And proving God in difficult circumstances. Step by step by step. Reaching out for the return of Jesus. It gives a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Not, well, in 5 years' time I'm going to be looking after my kids still. In 10 years' time I might have a different kind of job. You know, in a few years I might be in the glory, not here. Even think beyond death. You know, think to the return of Jesus Christ. Because our lives don't end in death. And with the return of Christ, we might be the ones that are flying through the sky, ready to greet those that are rising up from the earth. You know, that's quite a thought, isn't it? Reaching out for the return of Jesus. Don't wish your life away, as my mother would say. I can hear her saying it now. But our lives are hidden in Christ. And knowing that, that Christ is returning, gives me purpose and hope in difficult days. I'm not really bothered if you think your days are more difficult than mine. We're not in one competition, are we? My days are more difficult than yours. My problems are bigger than yours. That's not what it's about. And we're trying to encourage one another in that. But thinking about the future doesn't just make me otherworldly and useless in today's world. It gives me purpose now. What was said in the passage that was read, we, however, are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven, God's new heaven and earth, before citizenship in any country. Full citizenship. We, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. Are you eager? Paul was. And that's the thought. How eager am I? Now, this is a mainstream New Testament teaching. Mainstream, it's not odd like I used to think. It's mainstream. There are 250 references to the return of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It's not just in the book of Revelation or Old Testament passages like Daniel and Ezekiel. It's there in James and Thessalonians and Corinthians and Hebrews. It's just totally mainstream. But yet it's not mainstream in our thinking. As important as the cross is, we need to understand that the work of the cross will not be complete until the return of Jesus Christ. All that Christ has won. Amen. She's a good one there. Bless her. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. The work of the cross will ultimately, all the fruit of it will be seen at the return of Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, he finished it. He completed what he had to do, but we will see the outcome coming. The New Testament speaks of the parousia. It talks of the second advent. And in the first century, that would have meant that the king was coming back and we needed to be ready. The Old Testament speaks about the messianic kingdom that we've yet to see, that wonderful place where there are no tears, where there's not trouble. On all God's holy mountain, there is peace and there is joy at the return of the Lord. Read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, where we're told to be ready for the Lord's return. Not just ready for the Olympics, but ready for the Lord's return. No one knows the date, do they? No one knows the hour of the Lord's return. We must be constantly ready, reaching out for the light, living in daily faithfulness and obedience to God. And as the passage from Philippians says, there is a need to have this forward vision, not to be stuck in the past. Your future, your family's future, is tied into the return of Jesus Christ. Christ can give a better future to you and your family than you can earn or work for. That's quite something to think about, really, isn't it? And we know, and we're not going to look in great detail now, but there is a purpose to that second coming. I've said to you, it's to continue and implement all the consequences of the cross, the first advent, where Christ fought the battle. On his return, all God's enemies, sin, death, and the devil, will be removed from the world. They will be removed from the world. You read about that in 1 Corinthians. And a new order will be established. We call it the kingdom of God. And the work of redemption, God buying the world back, will be complete. All right? And we need to try and get a grip of this as mature Christians. Young Christians will not understand this. They will discover it as they relate with God and they get to know his word. What is the purpose? Sorry, you need to ping it on for me. It's stopped working. The resurrection of the dead. John 5. All who have ever lived will be embodied, given new bodies, and will stand before the Lord. All people will be judged. It says in Acts 17, all must appear before him. And although we will, by the grace of God, because we are washed clean through Jesus Christ, we will give an account of what we have done with the good news in our lives. We will give an account. We will be saved, but we will give an account of how we've lived, and we need to live in the light of standing before God. So, the church will be delivered as well. By his coming, the Lord will deliver his people from their enemies and gather us to himself, all true believers from all ages, all those who have gone before and those who are yet to come. Several passages suggest that the church will be greatly persecuted in the last days. Other passages suggest that the church will thrive through that persecution, but that God will need to come and rescue us because it will be so awful. To have a clear expectation of the return of Jesus helps us to live in the present. Just one more ping, please. I've put a star there. It seems appropriate to Christmas because it seems to me vision. It is the Lord Jesus in his return that gives us that vision. I'm pretty sure stars are dying. Pretty sure the universe is actually dying. But the Lord is coming and bringing a new heaven and a new earth. For some of us, it's too slow. Light travels very fast, nearly 300 million meters per second. That's pretty fast. Nearly 300 million meters per second. But for some of us, the Lord's return is delayed. The amazing thing is that God wraps himself in light. He just picks it up and twirls himself in it, says the psalmist. For some of us, it is delayed. It is not soon enough. For others of us, we are just not even living in the light that it's going to happen. But it is going to happen. As surely as Christ was born, as surely as Christ died upon the cross, as surely as Christ was raised from the dead and ascended to the heavens to fill the whole universe with his excellence, so will Christ return. The Lord will return. The same Jesus who ascended into heaven will come back. Does that have any effect upon you now? If it doesn't, then I want to say, I think you are missing out on something that could give you the strength to live in the present and to live differently. So please, with me, seek to reflect through Advent what it actually means that the Lord is returning. Helen, could you do me a favour and just... I think they're just moving downstairs, so that's probably all right. We're going to respond, and I'd like us to keep opening ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. Neil's going to lead us in a song, and hopefully that will enable us just to be still and open ourselves, and perhaps to bring anything that we need to share. So